New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.
This is Kirk Cameron, and I rape children on The Ardent Atheist.
You're not Kirk Cameron, and Kirk Cameron doesn't rape anybody.
He might just rape a little. Maybe just the tip. Maybe it's a biblical rape. It's a metaphorical rape. It's a spiritual rape, Emery. He spiritually raped me.
This is supposed to be a 2-second drop. Hello and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Howdy.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and from this show that you're listening to right here, right now. That's where you know her from. Stop trying to figure it out. You can find links to our guest's website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by me, go to the Facebook page for Ardent Atheist, like our page, and join in. We might use your statements in the live broadcast, so join me there now.
And we beg you to go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast and write a review. Please help us get in the top 10.
Do it!
Yes, please.
Right now.
Well, after the show.
Fine, just do it.
We only have a couple of the rules on the show.
Rule number one, as Michael Jackson used to say to the kids, you can plug anything you want as long as it feels natural.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content and certainly has nothing for you, you pathetic artard.
I'm not an artard.
After the show, we'll be having dinner at the Pyramido Greek and Mediterranean Grill in North Hollywood. If you're a non-believer and you'd like to come out and join us, please come on down. We'll be there at 8:30 directly following the show. And if you'd like to come to proselytize or argue, please do not fucking come down. In the studio today, we have Tony Tripoli, Penelope Lombard, and Carrie Poppy. You know these folks from showbiz. Thanks for being here, everyone.
Woo!
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to have all of you on the show. I don't always say this, but I met Penelope just a few weeks ago at the Improv, and a mutual friend said, you should put her on the show. You're here. And I asked Penelope, I said to Penelope, would you like to bring somebody on that is a non-believer? Because she said, she told me she believes in some shit. And,
that's how I describe it.
And I go, do you have any friends that are non-believers you want to invite to, like, you know? And immediately she goes, Tony Tripoli's going to hell.
So, that's actually going to be the name of my next show.
Tony Tripoli's going to hell. And Carrie Poppy, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
We Heather and I are big fans of your work. And
Stop.
Yeah, we are. We are indeed.
Yeesh.
And how much have you worked with Mr. Deity?
Oh, I've been on 2 episodes. Well, I was in 1 episode of Mr. Deity, the web series, and then we're doing a new project called Way of the Mister.
Right.
And we just released our 1st episode of that, which is really, really fun. I think that's going to be... That's the selling project.
Can you explain to our people who don't know what Mr. Deity is?
Yeah, Mr. Deity is. It's a very clever web series by Brian Keith Dalton where he plays the master of the universe, but he's terrible at it. He's the worst god you've ever met.
And he's got an attitude.
Well,
wait a minute.
In other words, he's just like all the other gods I've ever
right.
met.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a thinly veiled parody of the god of the Bible.
Right.
Nice.
Well, thank you for being here.
No, my pleasure.
Very much. Also, you're big in the skeptic community.
Oh, thank you.
You're skeptic.
Yeah, huge. Yeah, yeah.
You know, everyone always thinks that. I keep getting introduced a skeptic. No.
Like, no, well, you know why? It's all over the daggone internet. That's why.
Yeah, it's because the skeptics have featured me before, but I'm not on the blog. But this happens all the time.
Are you complaining now they won't let you play in their skeptic games?
No.
Those cunts, because I'll fuck them up.
Those bastards, you know, we're all fucking skeptics. Even you, Emery.
I am not.
I don't believe the skeptics really exist.
I've been a skept bottom a couple times, but I'm not a skeptic, you mother.
All right.
I believe everything.
Well, let's start right there. Penelope,
yeah.
Tell us what you believe.
Well, wow, that's such a hard one.
It's a tough one.
It's a really
because,
hard one.
Yeah,
because I want to be able to get out of it if I'm wrong.
Uh-huh. That's exactly right.
Well, I believe that people have 4 aspects. Mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And I think a lot of people in what is called the spiritual community have really forgotten about the mental.
Well, when you say mental, are you talking intellectual?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm talking about brains.
Okay.
And I think a lot of religious people
have gotten away from the brains.
Owned spiritual and have left out, you know, I mean, they have a brain and they've right. kind of turned it off.
Well, what does spiritual mean to you?
Well, I think it's a very open area, and so I think it should be.
I think it has to be, otherwise
yes.
you get cornered. I've always
yes.
said, if you will define your God, I will happily disprove it. Do you see what I mean by that? Tony, make sense?
Why would that yeah. make you so happy?
No.
You're like, that's what
nicely
Satan
put.
Would say.
Nicely put.
Why does that make you so happy?
Because first of all, I think mm-hmm. that the truth and reality are very important. And I think that knowing them and understanding them are how we move forward as a species.
Right.
That's
well,
why I'm happy.
I think that's on the mental level, and that's it is very important. But as human beings, we have to have our brains on. We have to be learning.
Yeah.
And how paying can you, attention.
How can,
I'm not saying that's going on in this country right now. But
well,
right,
I think right, right. It's what's happening is that, you know, people are going to school and they're learning things, and then they get out of school and they just forgot everything they learned in there. They just go with whatever their parents taught them as far as religion is concerned. They lose the science. It just goes away.
Well, I don't
right.
think schools are – the schools aren't meant to taught, in my opinion. They're meant to indoctrinate socially. I think that's what they do.
They don't.
Well, they do indoctrinate socially.
No, not mine didn't.
It honey, did, you, but just in a negative way.
Yeah. Well, seriously.
She was in the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
But yeah, I do think, yeah, but as a child, if you grew up in a religious household, you're taught that the beauty of this is that it's the exact opposite of the logical learning that you're learning mm-hmm. in school. This is all about faith.
Yeah.
It's all about trusting something that on paper doesn't make sense or seem possible.
Yeah.
And
or
then they tell you that that's the beauty of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's like a point of pride that
right.
we're kind of above rational thinking.
Right. And so – and I have never found the beauty in the beauty of that.
Well, when you
so
look
that's my struggle.
When you look carefully at the religious doctrine, it doesn't matter which one you choose, by the way. You
right.
can choose any of the basic – the basic three right now, the chocolate, the vanilla, the strawberry. You pick
sure.
any of those flavors, and they're all fucking horrific when you truly look mm-hmm. at what the options
well,
are.
Certainly
what's going
it's
on.
I'm right, you're wrong. I mean that.
Well, it's not even that.
It's all I feel sorry for you because you're wrong.
It's that somebody created the universe, and we now must drop to our knees and worship him for our lives. Mm-hmm. That's horrific on every fucking level, okay? If someone created the universe, they shouldn't need, want, or desire to be worshipped. They
right.
should be well beyond yeah. that kind of archaic bullshit.
They should tell themselves they did a good job.
I don't,
who's going to compete hook, with that?
I don't think the hook really is the worship.
What do you think it is?
I think it's really the end game of we're all going to the special heaven mm-hmm. and none of the other people are going to get to go.
I've been noticing.
Exclusive club.
Right. Everybody
that's
loves
what
a
I
club.
Think, that's what I think motivates people to go to church every Sunday. Really, that's more of just a social hangout, gossip, exchange recipes.
Yeah.
People have been saying to me, well, don't you want Armageddon to come and there to be a better, more perfect place after that? Wouldn't you rather have that than nothing? I'm like,
right.
no.
And then it's like a really sad statement about where they are in their personal lives
yeah.
that you're like,
I can't
there's
wait
gotta
for
be something better than
that's
this.
What my brother right. says. My
right.
brother says, where's your hope?
Yeah.
Really?
Don't you hope for a utopia? I'm like, no. It's well, that'd be nice, but I don't think that's going to happen. And especially since you're not sure it's going to happen, why are you telling me it's happening? You know, why it's just going to kick someone.
The separatism. It's definitely, there's a... it's very divisive. All religion is divisive with the exception of Buddhism, maybe. And I say maybe because I'm not even sure it's not.
But Buddhism is the least profitable.
It's
That's a flaw in their
is
business
that the
model.
Exception?
It's because they've only
enough.
Had one profit.
Everybody just wants to be right.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be
and
right.
no one wants to die. And
yeah.
that's really what everyone's afraid of is what happens when they die.
Your religion or Vaughn's Club or Ralph's Club.
Well, tell
it's
me
all about where you belong.
Penelope, tell me more about the spirituality. Why do you believe in that?
Well, I benefited from not having a religious upbringing.
None at all?
No. We didn't go to church.
That's nice.
And also, I went
Was there any religious belief at all, period, or was it atheistic?
It was mostly like, time to open the presents.
Right. Yeah. Right. Ooh, thank God we have a winning lottery ticket. You're really thanking God. You're just saying the expression "thank God."
But, yeah. but you weren't raised atheist. I want to be very clear about what you're saying. Or agnostic.
I was just raised as a kid.
Okay,
it wasn't really addressed.
Really?
Wow.
And I went to a school that was a very hippie kind of school. Mm. We didn't get grades. And we just moved at our own level, and you called your teacher by their first name, and you didn't
just like
sit
on
at,
The Simpsons.
You didn't sit at desks; you like just went wherever you wanted to go.
You just smoked weed on a couch.
And then my yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then my parents.
This is called home.
You were in heaven back then.
My dad bought a boat, and we didn't even go to school for a year.
Really?
And
what?
My school was so like into hippie stuff that they were like, the only thing better than coming here is not going to school at all
and living on a boat.
Wow.
Yes.
And wow. I didn't know what study hall was when I was in high school because we didn't have that. I got bussed out to go for a day at like a friend's school in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and they introduced me to study hall, and I was like, what the fuck is this? People are allowed to sit by themselves on their own in a room or not. They could go outside and study or not. No one's watching them or threatening them.
Yeah, well, they were watching you.
They were watching me. They were watching me, and I was gobstopped. I was just like, get the fuck out of here. So that is like a school of dreams. I couldn't even imagine that being real.
I would get nothing done in that school, though. Yeah, I have to admit.
Yeah, I wonder how effective it is.
What's wrong with nothing?
Well, I mean, I do kind of
nothing with me.
Hey, that's why I asked you here, Penelope.
No.
What's wrong with nothing?
Wrong with nothing? you do have to wonder, like, how many physicians came out of this school, you know?
Like, yeah. I'd like to know that, actually. That's
actually
interesting. I've heard of these.
There was an eccentric mix. Yeah. So I remember in first grade, a kid in my class was doing 11th grade math.
Wow.
But you
or
know what?
What they thought was 11th grade math.
Look, squiggles.
And I was doing no math.
Tony
at all.
Takes the claws out. So tell me how you got to spiritual.
11th grade math was the little
none.
Kid that could work the calculator. That
right.
Was
he was the only one.
That's funny.
Baby.
How'd you get to spiritual from none? From zero?
I think when you have that kind of upbringing and that kind of surrounding, you are very free to be creative and to explore. And I just always had a tendency to believe in magical, wonderful things.
Okay.
So I think it was by choice and personal to me.
So you recognize that, I guess, how do I word it? Do you think there's a soul in an afterlife?
I think there's a soul.
Okay.
And I think that I cannot know what any afterlife is like or what a next stage of our
I think we'll all agree that no one can know that.
Well, I wouldn't know.
I'm curious what you think. Honestly,
I have to say, knowing Penelope well, one of the things that is the most attractive about her, and this sounds like it's a joke, and it's truly not a joke, is she's absolutely okay with being wrong.
Yeah.
So, and I know I don't mean that.
It does sound
funny.
Like a joke, but I get
no,
you.
No, but so it's the way I experience her spiritual side is this is just sort of where I'm at, but if I'm wrong, you know, that's okay. Like it. So it's not that digging your heels in. Oh, I'm right, and you're wrong, and you're going to hell, faggot. Like, she, you know what I mean? She's not going to hold a sign and
you mean she hasn't said that to you at all?
Right? Yeah.
Like you and I are accused of being. I'm accused of being I call myself Ardent Atheist on the show. It's the name of the show.
Yeah.
But I'm accused of being as bad as the fundamentalists because I
Express yourself?
Yes. That's a fucking exactly it. It's exactly it.
I wrote a blog once called I Hate Babies. Mm-hmm. And nice. It was on a blog site that I hadn't told anyone about. You know, I was just doing it for my own pleasure of hating babies and other things. But I got hate mail. I got hate mail that was so mean.
I do.
Because they're dicks.
Where's Deborah Wilson when you
And I realized that in order for somebody to have found this one little blog on this, they would have had to Google, I hate babies. I was like, that is the sickness. How deep and devoted are you to your judgment?
Well, now I want to do that Google thing where you can find out how many times I hate babies has actually been. They have a way of doing that on Google.
That Google thing. Oh, where you
that
see
Google
how.
Thing. I confuse the hell out of Carrie.
You discovered that website. It's really good.
No, there's a trick at Google where you can search in a certain way to find out how many.
How many people have
people
looked
have
for that?
Looked for a specific phrase.
Right.
And then you will get lost. When you figure out how to do this, you're lost for a day in there. I mean, once you get past the racism, then it just gets fun. So it's really fun.
But one thing I wanted to say about my spiritual perspective is that I look at religions and I think those a lot of those people have shut off their mind. Mm-hmm. But I look at a lot of the very bright people, the intellectuals, the scientists, and I hope that they haven't shut off their emotions, their heart, or at least allowed themselves a possibility of mystery and of a spiritual connection, whatever that could mean to them, to explore, even if it, because they're so on the mental level, which I respect, and we need that. But I just want to make a spiritual life more appealing.
If I told you that many of the scientists that I know have communicated to me and publicly have communicated that when they look at certain data, photographs that the Hubble has captured, the deep space, all of this stuff, they find themselves emotionally overwhelmed and sometimes even weep, as do I. When I read about the things that are happening at the Hadron Collider, I tear up. So is this what you're talking about?
Well, that kind of thing, and also exploring intuition. It would be whatever
but intuition,
people respond to. But for instance, I have dreams that sometimes predict the future. And to be humble about it.
That's
I've had dreams I thought predicted the future as well, and they're very we're very uncanny, and we're right close to a specific date. And I can't imagine why I would have that dream, except for that it was a coincidence. Because
Let's talk about some details after we come back from this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissonant Radio and available on the iTunes Store.
Today's episode brought to you by Fundamentalists. If it weren't for them, we'd have no reason to be here.
And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Tony Tripoli, Penelope Lombard, and Carrie Poppy. Okay, I want to get right to that. You said intuition, which made me twitch. I just wanted to jump. And,
in a good way?
Absolutely not.
We've been talking about that a lot lately.
Don't get me wrong. I kind of had a sense that you were headed there.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and for the record, when you say, see what I did there, it means it wasn't funny.
or we didn't see it.
What I mean is, I think intuition is bullshit. And I think that every time we look into claims of intuition, intuitive prediction, that sort of thing, we find that it can be explained much more clearly and much more reasonably in very simple ways. There's no magic. That's every time it's looked at, over and over and over again, when science approaches these kinds of things. That's
You're talking about things
what
like
we discover.
The tipping point and blank and those, like Malcolm.
I'm talking about out-of-the-body experiences. I'm talking about prediction of future. I'm talking about whenever a close analytical eye takes a look at those claims, they fall apart. Every time. Not most of the time. Not 99% of the time. Every motherfucking time.
Right.
They're looked at closely. So what that tells a critical thinking person is, okay, especially when you start looking carefully at them yourself. When you start looking at the claims. James Randi had a
out-of-body experience.
And he went to his partner and said, I just had a fucking out-of-body experience. And
He's the premier skeptic on the planet, right?
King Skeptoid.
And he goes, I just had this experience. I want to understand this. And they got to talking, and they went way down the line. They figured out he was describing what happened. And he said to his partner, he goes, it was a I'm going to make up the facts just to illustrate the point, if you'll allow me. Something along the lines of, I could see the blue comforter on the bed. And he was over his own body. And he goes, I saw myself sleeping. I could see the blue comforter. And he goes, blue comforter? Let's go upstairs. It was the yellow comforter that was on the bed.
Maybe it was at somebody else's house.
Wasn't there like animal involved too, a dog or
I remember specifically the blue comforter is kind of a crux point. And what he said was, yeah, I just changed it. It was on yesterday. It's not on today. Right. Something along those lines.
And we know that like when the left frontal lobe is stimulated, which happens when blood isn't getting to your brain, that there's this sensation of rising out of your body and looking at it. And so, you know, it's completely explained. Scientifically,
there are very good explanations for these experiences, and this one in particular was easy to understand once Randy was able to see that he wasn't completely accurate with his vision. He realized that what had happened, which science has explained many times before, is that he was having a lucid dream. And I've had lucid dreams. I actually have them all the time. And
I wish I'd have one. I'd love to experience what that is, what people feel in that
moment. There are exercises that can help stimulate lucid
dreaming.
Where you
look at your hands. There was an amazing...
I do that all day long. I don't...
You have to say, I'm awake and look at your hands and do it repeatedly look at them. Then when you dream, you'll do the same thing.
So you condition
them. It will be a different experience and you'll know, because you'll see them differently.
Wow.
That's cool.
Well, there was just a really cool study where they were able to get people to have alien abduction dreams.
I read that as well.
Crazy. Like they were able to make these people who had never had them before wake up and say, no, you guys, seriously, I know you were trying to set up the study, but I was probed by aliens last night. And it happened to like 40% of the participants. And they just did all these exercises and they fed them a lot of cheese.
That's why...
Really? Cheese is the answer.
Yeah. You should not sign up for those kind of experiments.
You don't know what they're doing to you.
It's never like just, are you diabetic? They're going to get terrible dreams.
I'm worried about what the aliens found going up their butt if they've been eating cheese. I kind of feel for the aliens. Those better have been disposable probes.
So how did they cue that or...
There were some sort of exercises that they did that I think are sort of like what you're describing, although I didn't read the actual.
Did they use the God helmet for this one?
Review.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you're talking about, and I don't think they did.
Okay.
I think it was all exercises and diet, and but I don't know, Heather, did you read more into the?
Yeah, I did.
I'm looking for it online right now,
people
see if I can find it.
Easy to manipulate. Yeah,
maybe aliens come in through your diet. I don't know.
That's so funny. So Penelope is still of the opinion that aliens are real. It's just that when you have a certain diet, that's how they get to you.
Maybe.
Well, there's almost no doubt that aliens are real. It's just whether they've gotten here.
Thank you.
Right.
Probably haven't.
Yeah. No, we right. I'm quite sure we'd fucking know if aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Hawking says we need to shut up and keep our mouth quiet because if they can get to us, we don't want to let them know where we are.
Right.
Because they're probably just going to come wipe us out and use our resources. Mm-hmm. That's what he thinks.
Yeah, and he made the point that the way we treat non-human animals is probably how other species would treat us. And if you look at that, it's not too great.
Which makes sense. I mean, that kind of fear from the one guy that can't really run away from them, I can see why he'd be worried.
Yeah, I don't think we can know what their perspective would be. Based on ours.
I do agree with you on that, actually. I'm not with, and I hate to say this, I'm not with Hawking. Heather?
Oh, alien abductions are just dreams. Researchers train people to meet ETs in their sleep. 20 volunteers do mental exercises for 3 days. 7 meet aliens, including huge evil robots. Aliens down to poorly studied state of consciousness.
This could be a tourism industry.
Mm. Oh, totally. I would want to do that study.
No. You know, that's so funny because my best friend and I have a podcast together actually called The Comedy Couch.
Why am I not on there? What
Dennis
the hell?
Dennis Lindsley and Tony Tripoli.
It's hilarious.
And Dennis and I were talking about when the whole Dr. Conrad Murray trial started happening about this propofol sounds kind of like if you could do it safely for like a weekend, I mean, like, you can't go anywhere and check out and be away from the phone and the text and the email. But if you could be put into a coma recreationally,
right,
mm-hmm. and just take a week, first of all, you'd lose weight.
Drop the weight.
You would lose weight. A week in a medically supervised coma, and we were calling them comacations.
Oh, I would love that.
Wouldn't that be an amazing business?
Because it's like you're downloading from all the stress that you've had.
If,
you know,
if
I mean,
someone
brain
was able to get rich with putting a Curves in every strip mall in this country, I'm telling you, comacations is a real idea.
And people that have is to be great. Nice to you after you were in a coma.
I was in a coma.
Yeah. It's for a party.
Yeah. You didn't come to, you know, Johnny's bar mitzvah.
I was in a coma.
Yeah, that's the best.
This is a Tim and Eric product, man.
So I want...
Comacations.
Really, yeah, I want to do comacations.
Let's like make a commercial.
I want that.
We could do this.
It's going to become a recreational drug.
Yeah.
Man.
No. So, but that's my thinking on that. You were saying that, yeah... Medically induced comas, just that'd be heaven.
You're gonna have to hire a nurse to take away your shit and piss.
I know, but that'd be look. We'd just get a Mexican
or two.
All the movies where they do that, it's terrible.
Oh no!
Well, that one
I'm not
J-Lo?
Saying there aren't bugs to work out. Well, first of all, J-Lo's not invited.
Wow.
What if you eat a bunch of cheese before your coma and then you spend a week being raped by aliens?
That's kind of my dream, actually. Eat a bunch of cheese, go into a coma, and get raped by aliens.
I think also eating all that cheese would really stop up how much feces had to be removed.
That's what made me think of it. If you use it, put cheese in to block up the...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's fantastic. Man.
We'll just have you in a toilet bed.
Your first post-coma dump is going to be awesome. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
yeah. Loosened up by the aliens and cheese ready to blow.
I'd have to join Twitter for that.
What was that, Tony?
I said I'd have to join Twitter for that. I would want to tell people. I'm not interested in being on Twitter, but if I took a shit after a week-long coma fucked by aliens that had cheese in it,
account.
I'd have to fucking sign up.
Are you telling me you don't have a Twitter account?
I do not.
What is that about?
I hate Twitter.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Really?
It's like Facebook without the good stuff. It's just status messages.
It's a wild.
No. Yeah. It's so much deeper.
You're totally
missing the boat. You're missing the boat.
Some people do amazing things on Twitter, and I can go on certain people's Twitter feeds and read what they said, and they're clever and fun.
Right.
Most people have not earned the right.
How is this any different than life in general? The same could be said for just talking to some asshole in the grocery store.
Which I do very little of.
You're interrupting your boring life for boring tweets.
But that you don't. You guys, you just cancel your subscription to that twit.
Yeah,
you have to get really good Twitters to follow.
Yeah.
You have to get the people that you really, really admire, really, really like. Yeah, Ricky Gervais, you know, the good people. And then when you interact with them, if you're a comedian and you write something funny to a comedian, they think it's funny, they will write it back to you.
If you haven't read Wendy Liebman's tweets, and if you haven't read Eddie Pepitone's tweets.
Or hysterical. And Dylan Brody.
Then what?
Brody.
We're going to hell.
You don't know what you're fucking missing.
You're not going to hell. You're living it now.
Oh. You're missing all the good parts, too.
You're so angry and fired up about this.
He's ardent.
Yeah, I'm more ardent about tweeting.
I know.
What's the matter with my nerdy ass?
I have to say, I have, well, my podcast has an account at Twitter, but my producer does.
Which podcast?
Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
Okay. Nice way to slip it in.
But my producer does all the tweeting, and sometimes I'll hop on there and look, and it's all just like, you know, at Karen, you're the best. I'm like, oh my God, how do you do this all day?
Right.
I can't do it.
Well, wait a minute. Now you've piqued my interest. If it could get a middle-aged gay guy more compliments, I'm signing up right now.
You know, that's all you get.
Let me just tell you that a bunch of people on Twitter had a great time basically putting away this horrible guy who was just in bombarding us with messages, like hate messages and stuff like that, to atheists. David Mabus.
As
Twitters and tweeterers, we gathered together and got him arrested and put into a mental institution. Yeah, he was bullying hundreds of people.
Let's be very clear. He was threatening death.
Threatening death.
He was
threatening
death.
And there were actually, moments where he showed up at an event up in Montreal and got really scary weird. Mm. And then we were at TAM 9.
Yes.
And it had kind of boiled back up. And I was talking to... a couple people about it who were really being hassled by him. And Penn asked if I would talk to someone who had really dealt a lot with him because he was kind of starting to hit Penn. And I talked to PZ Myers. And PZ had a fucking dossier on this asshole.
That's exciting. So,
but yeah. He's been doing it for 10 years.
It's been going
and
on.
And finally he hit some people who were like, I'm fucking done with this shit. Yeah. And so then we went to a change.org and put a petition up to get him looked at and sent every person who signed the petition, it sent an email. And he was in Canada.
Well, so. it turns out
sent an email to the police station.
Mabus had been reported numerous times by individuals he had harassed with death threats like PZ Myers and others. PZ in particular had numerous times tried to file. No action. None. The Canadian authorities were going, you know,
whatever.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And he had showed up at an event where PZ Myers was. So it was really clear someone needed him.
Well, I tweeted,
sorry.
I'm not taking responsibility for the first tweet because people were getting pissed off already, but I tweeted 911 being harassed by David Mabus, and I put a hashtag Montreal. And then Kyle Vanderbeek and a whole bunch of
people. They don't even
know
what you're saying with hashtag.
Well, you put hashtag, which is like, you know, what's that hashtag?
It sounds fun. I get it.
It's a trending topic. So people will look it up. And if they see 911, they want to see who's saying 911. Uh-huh. So someone in Canada noticed, a reporter noticed that people were saying 911, this Mabus guy. And then he looked into it, started doing a report on it. And the police had no choice but to notice. And they picked him up. Eventually, they got
good
him.
Work.
Wow. That's a Twitter.
You're a model
story.
Citizen.
Well, that's what Twitter is all about. It's like really reaching everyone all over the world.
That's what Twitter is about: catching people who abuse atheists.
That's correct.
Is that what it's about?
That's fucking right.
If there's somebody who threatens to kill you, you should totally get Twitter.
And it's funny because I've seen people, celebrities, people saying that they're going to commit suicide, and a celebrity will reach out and go, "Such and such is threatening suicide. Please reach out."
It really
to him,
always
like
bums
that.
Me out when it's like. Well, Demi Moore said not to.
So I'm not getting
it. So I'm not going to. Like, oh,
well, right here on Ardent Atheist
Demi
Wall.
Moore says, I'll come over and do it with you.
Yeah. Let's do some coke first.
Well, right here on Ardent Atheist Wall, someone has posted that Tony Tripoli is one sexy fag. So
that was you, Emery. Yeah. That was you.
I didn't type it yet.
Yes. Anyway, that's our Twitter rant.
Yeah. That's what happens when you do a live show, man. People are right there doing stuff.
That's right.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today, we would like to give a shout-out to the Center for Inquiry. Please go to cfiwest.org and donate, because the Center for Inquiry is working to promote and defend reason, science, and freedom of inquiry in all areas of human endeavor. Go give some money to them right now. It's a good cause. And now back to Ardent Atheist, nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Tony Tripoli, Penelope Lombard, and Carrie Poppy.
I want to know what your dream was.
Let's get to that.
How many instances have you had like this that you feel were really real? And
indicative
then,
or proof that there's some
and
sort
then
of magic
tell me
going.
What was the biggest one, the one that you were just like, this is real.
Well, one of the big ones, and I'll have a lot of dreams, but usually these ones will really stand out to me, and I'll write them down. So this is just a small example, but I had a dream that this woman that I'd see at work on Fridays, I had a dream she was pregnant. In the dream, she turned around, and I noticed she's pregnant. So then I saw her the next day, because that was a Thursday night, and it reminded me when I saw her.
Of the dream, yeah.
I had a dream last night that you were pregnant, and she said, oh, that's weird, because I am pregnant, and I haven't told anyone.
Mm. Okay.
Neat.
And then, like I have said to Tony, then everybody at work was like, that's so exciting that Robin's pregnant. And I was like, you guys, I'm magic. I'm a wizard. Let's get to the real story. I was so pissed.
Oh, your genius is overshadowed by this woman's sexual prowess.
Exactly.
That's a drag.
That was great.
It's slut.
I had a dream that I was going up a windy road, and I was looking at a place I might live. And when I got there, I knew in the dream, it wasn't big enough. It was so nice there, but it wasn't big enough.
If you finish this with, and I never lived in that place, I'm going to kill you.
No.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But then I started a job, and the first time I went there, it was up that windy road, and I knew, and I had a sinking feeling because I felt like this is going to be great.
But it's going to be too small.
It's not going to be enough.
This one doesn't impress me. The other one is impressive.
Oh. It's impressive to me because it just personally hit me so hard, and I don't think you remember all your dreams. So that's why it's such a personal relationship to your own intuition, to whether you tune into dreams or if you just feel people's emotions or if you are a very visual person. And
well, really, in that one you're describing cross pattern building is all you're doing. You're cross referencing some patterns that and placing importance on them.
Go ahead. And my mind was doing that, and it was significant to me.
There's no question.
But I just wonder if for you, if you're so interested in analyzing it and figuring out why, could you be missing the fun of that message?
No, I really don't think so, and I'll tell you why, because I used to do what you're doing. I was there. I believed in all kinds of magic, and I was a Christian and was going to preach the word, and I had Bible studies, and we took communion.
Now that's silly.
You want to hear? Can I share with you
Don't you think you're missing something by not taking communion? And I mean, it's the same. Honestly, it's
this is a cracker, right?
It's the same. It's,
no, it's just a cracker.
It's the body of Christ. Let's have some reverence here.
Can I share with you a dream I had that?
But before you do, I just want to say, as a gay guy, I resent the fact that the body of Christ was lean and sexy. His body would not ever be represented by a carbohydrate. That's my problem with the whole body of Christ thing. Go ahead.
Jesus was scrawny. They actually estimate that he was 5'6 and 125 pounds.
See, there's no cracker there.
Little guy.
But where does that
And he
come
wasn't
from?
A cracker. So.
Where's that estimate come from?
You know, John Shelby Spong told me that. I don't know where it comes from. Could be
Kara,
totally wrong.
You know all these things.
Oh,
you are like
I pride myself
a philo
on knowing
fact.
Things.
Well, I love that Jesus just had a Napoleon studies. Complex. He was just a midget with a big dick that was like, I got some shit to prove.
I remembered that because I'm 5'6 and 125
That's
pounds.
That's fantastic.
So
that's great.
I'm Jesus.
But
Jesus.
Were there tall people back then? We don't know.
Right. What? I mean, I think
well, apparently we, there were
giants. Giants.
And a 14-year-old boy killed with a slingshot. I mean, that's just fact.
It was an accident.
Anyway, Heather was going to tell us something.
Oh, I had a dream. I was living in Camden, New Jersey at the time. And it has nothing to do with it. And I had a dream that I had walked out of my just opened up my door. I heard a commotion outside, and I saw people walking down the street, like in a big mass of just walking. And my first thought was, is something wrong? Are we in trouble? Is there a war? What's going on here? We're in Camden, and there's a massive amount of people walking down my front street, which doesn't happen ever. People don't walk down there. So
sounds a little like Kristallnacht. Go on.
Kristallnacht. Okay, so they weren't angry or yelling. They were calmly walking and carrying bags and kind of like suitcases and just walking and looking just kind of like meh, you know? And I closed the door, and I thought, I don't know what that is, but I'm going back to bed. Well, like
mass exodus.
Yeah, mass exodus.
That's my girlfriend.
Mass exodus, you know.
She'll sleep through that.
I was like, well, it's not my problem. Mm-hmm. So shortly after that, probably within that same week, if I can recall, was the blackout in New York City in 2003, where and I turned on the TV, and what I saw was a massive amount of people walking through the street, you know, like across a bridge and just walking. And I was like, did I dream that? Did I predict that there were a bunch of people?
In.
Yeah, it makes you feel plugged. Did I dream that there was going to be a massive amount of people walking, just walking down, and I was going to see that? Or, you know, how did I know
was
that?
Was it on the same street that you had?
No, I was in Camden, New Jersey, but I saw like a big massive group of people just walking calmly, like.
Right.
But it didn't look like danger. It just looked like people were just going, you know,
well, from a critical thinking point of view, If
it just looked similar to me when I turned on the TV. That image that I saw at my window.
How can you make this not
looked
fun?
More
from a critical
similar,
thinking
you know?
Point of view. What the critical thinker wants to do, Carrie, jump in here. Is I want to say to folks like both of you, I want to go, okay, this is interesting. Let's talk about it.
Right.
Now, every time you have a dream, every time you have a dream, you can remember, let's catalog those
down.
Dreams. Mm-hmm. Let's write it down.
Yeah.
Give me the details, because you know what we do? Sometimes we're not honest with ourselves. Heather didn't say that it was the same street. You said it was the same street. Heather is, it's possible that Heather might eventually amend her story to say it was the same street.
Yay.
But there's, but there's no proof that she actually dreamt it was the same street.
Right.
There's no proof that you did. Now, without sounding like I'm calling you someone who's making something up, because that's not actually what I'm describing.
But humans do.
But I might.
It is something humans that we do, and we don't even sometimes know we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who just do it. They just know they're going to just add these little things that sweeten the story.
Oh, especially to get laid.
Always to get laid.
Please.
Did you think this would get you laid, Penelope?
This show?
No.
Long, windy road, and then it ends up with, she says, it's not big enough? No, it's not getting her laid. It's not getting her laid.
Tony, only you can find that in that story. I just want to point that out. I think that when science looks at these things, they're not recorded the same way they're reported. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
They're recorded in a certain way, and then when you can find things like the windy road with the house is too small, there are details that aren't accurate when it's done scientifically, when it's looked at critically. And then you can go, no, it's a coincidence. You've drawn conclusions. You've let the inaccuracies melt away. You've added accuracies that weren't there.
And
you know what I mean?
Even though all of this, I still really, really feel that we're connected thing only because of one thing that happened to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But you know, that's interesting. You have one story and you probably dream every single night. And that's confirmation bias.
Right.
You're finding that one thing that was a hit and forgetting all the pieces.
And I'm when I look at it, I laugh. I go, that was neat. You know what I mean? I don't believe that I really predicted the future. There's one instance in my life where I felt extremely connected to a person who had died and I didn't know they were dead, but when I walked up to the area, I was like, something is fucked up and wrong right now. Let me get there right really, really fast. And when I got there, the person was taken away from by the ambulance, and I had no idea what was going on. I was like, that felt weird.
But Heather,
I've
dated you now going on a year. And nearly every time, just the other day, we were going over to Daphne's, and as we walked into Daphne's, you go, there's something fucked up here. But there wasn't.
I didn't say that.
You say it every 3 days.
I think
you bastard. You making me look insane.
There was for sure something fucked up going on.
It was the smell.
Curly fries. There was something fucked up.
When you think something's fucked up every 3.5 hours, you're going to have a hit.
But you know, I do think.
It's not true, by the way. I'm joking. She doesn't really do that.
When you have that moment of deja vu or, oh, right. I've dreamt this or whatever, I find those moments pleasant.
They're fun,
and
yes.
Perhaps for me, meaningless, but the value in them is then when I find myself blue for no reason, or you know, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed or whatever, I can say to myself, this is just the other side of that. It's just a weird chemical thing in my bloodstream right now, and it will pass.
I would love to know.
So I find comfort in the randomness.
I would love to know what it is, though, like the connection between mother and child or something. You know, like, you know, you have a mother who goes, something's wrong, and then there's something wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where is that? What is that? You know what
I
mean?
DNA is my answer.
I mean being tuned in more acutely to the energies around us. And I think some people are more plugged into that. Maybe.
What do you mean by energies around
us? Yeah, I don't think it's like energy, though. I think it's just something that's animalistic instinct that we have,
or
something.
To clarify, what do you mean when you say energies around us?
Well, I mean people's emotions, definitely.
Yeah,
and
that's not an energy, is it?
Yes,
I think they do.
There's an energy.
Don't you feel people's emotion?
Yeah, but that's like using the same word for two different things.
Yeah,
I think you're talking about like a spiritual energy, something that's like palpable in the room, and you, Penelope, are talking about like your sense of someone else's emotions that we all kind of pick up on subconsciously because we've learned them from being around lots of people, and we know what it looks like when someone's blue, or we know what it looks like when someone's had a bad day.
And then we're affected by it.
And then, yeah, and then immediately we see them, we're like, oh, something's wrong with memory.
Well,
you're picking up on their
energy. Energies. I do think we probably have different sort of.
Yeah, and that
it's called stink. It's called odor.
Physical.
I bet scientifically we probably have, and maybe it's a super minute difference from person to person.
Scientifically, there isn't an aura. We've looked for the aura.
Really. There's no.
No, there's no scientific. There's no scientific discovery that illustrates individual electrical fields.
Honestly,
it came out of Curlian photography, and we know how that was done. It was a magic trick.
Yeah. I went to this school where we just got to do whatever we wanted, and we just.
I love you so much.
Where's the boat in this story?
Okay, well,
You know, sometimes you just meet someone and you instantly like, don't like him. Or sometimes you're just drawn to people for no logical reason.
And I've always... That's not magic.
No, but I've always said, well, there must be something in my magnetism that is attracted to their magnetism.
But I mean, is that more likely than that you see someone and you're like, oh, I don't like him. And maybe there was someone in your past that that person reminds you of that you've just forgotten.
Like your rapist uncle.
It's your brain, guys. It's just your fucking brain. Yeah. And your brain is taking in stimuli and information that you're not even... This is why it feels magical. You're not even aware of all of the elements you're taking in, and you're not aware of the connections to A, your past, and B, you're just your basic fears. We're not even in touch with our basic design inside our brain. We just aren't.
We're not using that much of our brain.
We're using 100% of our brain. That's another thing we'll get back to right after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissonant Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's episode brought to you in part by author Frank Albritton. You can download Frank's new book, Ambitious Man, Microwave Dinner, onto your Kindle from Amazon.com. And his first book, The Cricket Chirped Doom, is also available. Amazon.com or Lulu.com. You can get either or both there. And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Tony Tripoli, Penelope Lombard, and Carrie Poppy.
I'm going to have to insist that I'm not using all my brain.
I will back her up on that. Very funny. I can verify that in a court of law.
Your choice not to use all your brain does not mean the rest of us are not. That's an old wives' tale. It's an old you can look up that one. It's a myth.
Just like
we don't not use
and
part of
just
our
like
brains.
People still believe that men have less rib than women.
Oh, I've heard that one, yeah. It's been
a
long
time. It's not true. People still believe it.
Really?
Yes.
Other myths.
Wow.
What's the...
Myth.
Carrie Poppy, what is the most recent myth that you realized you were wrong about? Do you have any of those? Because, you know, I still have some kind of snaking up on me here and there.
I have some, too. Yeah.
I know that happens, but I can't... Oh, it's
embarrassing. Come on!
I remember I had this idea that, like, you literally burn the food you eat. Like, it burns and disappears. And then someone had to explain to me, like, no, when you metabolize it, still, like, all the matter is there. And it exits you the same amount of it. And
you thought it just goes away and dissipates somehow.
I thought because you hear that word burn.
Right.
And I just never thought about it. I thought, okay, you burn some of the food off. Like,
metabolize
like
means to break down into a different state, the entropy process. And all of the atoms are all still there.
Right.
They're
just
reduced to different states.
And when someone said that, I was like, oh, yes, of course.
Yes,
but
that makes sense.
I just never thought of it.
Right. Someone called me and said, this was a week ago, maybe. It's what reminded me to get in touch with you, actually, and said that you were a...
Mormon.
No.
No.
Vegetarian.
Oh, yes.
And there was something on your wall about... I can't remember the details. Did you have an argument with someone about a vegetarian topic
recently?
Try
to stay away from arguments on Facebook.
right.
Not that I remember. I don't know.
Something about vegetarian. I thought maybe you'd remember. But
I know a lot of people believe that if you shave or wax hair, it grows back darker.
Right, that's not true either.
Or thicker.
It's all the same. It just starts out thicker and darker so that it can break through the skin, but then it...
Right.
Phrase. It's a hair. It frays and becomes damaged at the end, which is why it appears to be.
That's
thinner.
A really good one, Tony.
to the gay guy about hair removal.
This is probably the first talk of waxing on the Ardent Atheist.
Do you do the wax thing? Do you do it?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I do
I've
not.
Done it a couple times. I like to figure out a way to get my ass hair to stop growing. I almost went to the electrolyte.
I'm sorry. I was daydreaming and I heard that and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I hate the answer.
Emery, I think it's really interesting that you were a believer. I was too, but I didn't know.
I was going to ask both of you, Tony and Carrie, because we picked on you all night.
I know.
I wanted to know. Carrie, what did you believe?
Yeah, I was an evangelical Christian most
of
my life.
Until wow.
Until I was like 25.
That must be exhausting.
Those youth group boys loved you.
It really is.
Great word.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job.
Being an evangelical?
Yeah.
Oh, totally. You know,
how'd you get out of it?
I read The God Delusion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what made you read it?
Well, I was in a stifling relationship with a Christian man, and he was starting to tell me what he believed about men and women, and I was like, ooh, this doesn't sound right.
Oh, no.
And so starting to question a little bit, and then I just was listening to NPR, and Richard Dawkins was on the radio. I was like, oh, this guy makes sense.
It fucking works. It works.
It really does. And when people talk about Richard Dawkins and say, oh, he's strident, he can't possibly convert people, I'm like, well, it was worth it to me. If he only wrote that book for me, it was worth it to me.
I wonder how many millions of people's eyes were opened by Dawkins, Hitchens, Sam Harris, Dennett, and us. I wonder, honestly, how many people are affected, because I think it actually does have an effect. I think there's a large percentage of people who are just empowered by these kinds of discussions. Yeah, and absolutely. They go, okay.
Well, and to me, that's those people getting back into their mind.
Getting back into their mind.
Yeah. Especially from that kind of background.
Yeah,
that's very specific.
Yeah.
Although I always believed for like evidence reasons, like I read The Case for Christ, all these books that lay out like logical reasons for believing.
You were lying in wait for atheism, man.
Yeah, I suppose
you were
so.
Using logic to support the belief in God. You weren't even going for the faith thing.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember always thinking like, well, that's preposterous that you would just believe because it's a good idea. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Wow.
I never.
Well, that's a rare ardent believer, actually. There's not a lot like that.
That's true, but all the other ones that I knew who were like me are now atheist and agnostic.
Nice. Yeah.
Great.
All of them.
Nice.
Smarties.
Tony, your background. How did you get gay?
Oh, that's easy. That was just one summer at camp. Which brings us back
My uncle tried many times and failed.
We're back on that boat again.
But, yeah, no, I did not grow up in a religious environment. And my father had been raised Roman Catholic. My father's the oldest of four boys from Detroit, Italian, super Catholic.
How many in your family?
There's me, then I have a little sister and a little brother.
You were third?
I'm the oldest.
Do you know? Oh, the oldest.
Yes.
Ah, got it. Okay, got it.
And I was an accident. My parents were 18. It was their senior year of high school, and they got pregnant.
Oh, we're all accidents.
Yeah. And so, so we were never... We didn't go to church very, very frequently. It was just a burden. It was inconvenient, so it kind of fell by the wayside. So I didn't ever really grow up with those beliefs. And then when my dad started having his marriages, and I was a little older, he's divorced from his fourth wife.
Oh, wow.
Who was a solid gold dancer. So that one hurt when I lost her.
Really?
She was my favorite.
Your favorite. What about your mom?
My parents have both had four weddings.
His mom could use some dance lessons.
I tell people that's why we gays can't get married. My folks have used up all our turns. it just seemed then when my dad was suddenly having these, he had a Greek Orthodox wedding once.
Oh, wow.
Which is even longer and more ornate than the Roman Catholic.
Right. Yeah.
And so it was just the height of absurdity. It was literally like I felt like I was in a Christopher Guest movie when I was watching this ceremony because it was the walking in the circle and the lighting of the candles and then they were wearing wreaths that were connected with ribbons and it was just like it just seemed
absurd.
So dumb. Yeah.
Very absurd.
I just got to thinking.
Yeah. And then also when you grow up, I knew I was gay from a very early age because everyone was telling me. And so when you
gave in.
They
tried to tell me too. I just didn't take.
No. I have some numbers you can call.
Okay.
But it's so obvious that you have this enemy, this oppressive enemy that is the church that is so big and powerful and against you. So I sort of have a slightly spiteful attitude towards most all organized religions.
Right, right. Well, I don't think Penelope would disagree, right?
Penelope would not
like
disagree.
Religion.
I wouldn't. Although you said that topic about religious atrocities.
Yes. We didn't get to that today.
Tony and I were just racking our brain to pick our favorites.
I don't know. How do you choose?
I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to skip it.
There's so many good ones. Did you mean today or throughout history?
It was a possible discussion point. We ended up not having to really pay attention to discussion points, actually, because we're...
Ramblers?
Yeah.
But everybody should write in their favorite.
Indeed, right?
Yeah.
religious atrocities. One of my problems, and I know Carrie's going to know a bit about this as well, is
when I know it, things.
When she know. Knows things.
It's when,
but wait, are we talking about in the Bible or outside of the Bible?
Take your pick, baby.
I that's go clitorectomy, and I dare you to top that.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
You can't beat it.
Clitorectomy. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do this in the Muslim, in the Far. In the Middle East, in some very, very. Let's be clear, too. In some very extreme sects of the Muslim world, they do that.
Yes. Because,
I'll go with that thing where when you're in church and they want you to like hug the person next to you, but you don't know them and you don't want to.
You don't
want to
shake their hand.
I don't know if that quite matches clitoris.
I don't think that's
I think it's up there.
It definitely affects your sexual pleasure, though. I can tell you that.
Did you get the part where I haven't met that person?
Okay.
She's got boundaries. Shake hands with your clitoris?
Yeah.
This church sounds a lot like your school.
Who cuts a clit off? I mean, what is the...
Jerk.
You got to be a real tiny piece of shit to go. I cannot compete with that.
Yeah.
That's got to go.
Who thought that up?
Yeah, that's really sick stuff.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah. I think the witch children is probably the most recent one that just drives me crazy. I'd rather have a clit cut off than a kid burnt with acid.
Oh, with the
Phil
Penelope
and... No.
Well, that's another one.
That's another one. Right, right. No, there is a movement in Africa. Do you know where, Heather?
Nigeria.
In Nigeria, there's a pleasant place where.
Well, the only other thing they have is spamming.
Spamming.
Right.
That's right.
They've got a computer to share between the thousand of them.
If you've never seen the show, the Nigerian spam scam. Go fucking see Dean Cameron scammed a Nigerian spammer back.
Oh, wow. It's genius.
Awesome. But
so what they do is these Christian pastors are holding these churches, and people will come up to them because someone died in the family or they're having a problem, you know, and they will say, "Do you have small children?" And they blame the children on the problems within the household, and they declare them witches, and then they basically kill them. They throw acid on their face.
Well, first of all, they exercise.
They exercise them.
There are
first.
Some deaths occurring as a result, but what they're really doing is they're demanding money, $50, to exercise the witchcraft out of these children, not infants, but young children. And they're doing horrific things.
They're scaring the shit out of these kids.
Mm-hmm. And they're alienating the children from their family and their tribes and their friends and all of this. It's fucking horrific.
But does it work?
It doesn't work.
I'm kidding. It's horrible.
I know the James Randi Educational Foundation is working on this project too, if people want to hear more about it.
Yes,
you go to the jref.org.
Jref.org. Anybody?
No, Randy.org.
Oh, it is Randy.org. Right,
my
right.
Mistake.
Yes. Go to Randy.org, and no matter what, go to Randy.org. Amazing.
Absolutely.
He'll pay you $1 million if you can do something magical. If you can predict the future, Penelope, Randy will give you $1 million if you can prove that you can do it.
Well, I'm just going to guess, at least.
Look, I know we're running low on time, and I did want to send a shout out to another atheist, Bill Maher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You guys are fans of his, I'm hoping.
He believes in ghosts, which bothers me, and he's an anti-vaxxer, which bothers me. But he's, I think, wonderful.
What did you say about your sexuality earlier?
I'm bisexual.
As bisexual, you might appreciate this. Huge penis.
Oh. I've heard
monstrous.
This. Like, I've also heard that he masturbates fucking constantly.
I heard that.
Who doesn't?
Shaped like a corkscrew.
Now it is.
He does
monstrous penis. So good for you, Bill Maher. I saw a picture.
Wow.
Do you have anything else to plug besides Bill Maher?
TonyTripoli.com. Come and see me live.
Penelope.
Tony and I are doing a show. Uncle Gay and Aunt Bitter. Your kids are dicks.
Nice. You really hate
anything
children.
Anything else, Carrie?
Yeah, I have a play coming up here in LA, and everyone should go to onopodcast.com.
Exactly. I want to thank my guests for being here today. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and New Dissident Radio. Tune in next week, where our guests will be Bobby Slayton and Jamie Ian Swiss.
Ooh.
We'll be talking about pushing the boundaries of good taste and the virtues of critical thinking. After the show, we'll be having dinner at the Pyramido Greek and Mediterranean Grill in North Hollywood. If you're a non-believer and you'd like to join us, please come on down, like I said earlier, but... If you are not a non-believer and you just want to proselytize or argue, don't fucking come out. That's it for episode 41. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And a special thank you to our sexy Facebook publicist, Cameron Winter.
And you've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
This is Tommy James, and you're listening to Ardent Atheist, the number one podcast for free thinkers and Hollywood douchebags.
New Dissident Radio. On the interweb.